Chapter 8. The High Lords Speak. Drang visited the bodies of the vanquished Space Marines. He could not help himself. He was doing it every day. Down into the deepest excavations of the Segmentum Obscurus's planetary base, treading the dankest tunnels, dismissing the trusted, most fully oafed, most fully restricted personnel, coming to the storage chambers of the sacred relics of those whom, in his closest thoughts, he admired most of all. Space Marines. He had seen Space Marines before, but rarely, and even more rarely than he had seen them in action. He had spent his life in the fleet, which provided transport for the billion-strong Imperial Guard. The Adeptus Astartes chapters, to give the Space Marines their official name, had their own vessels to carry them between worlds. What little he had seen of them had given him a lifelong fascination. Each one was a Superman, as though belonging to a different race altogether. Biologically enhanced, given extra organs, much larger than an ordinary human being, having a lifetime measured in centuries, their very existence made Drang feel puny by comparison. There was something like a million worlds in the Imperium. In all, there were only about a million Space Marines too, organized into around 1,000 chapters of 1,000 warriors each, one Space Marine per planet. And yet it was enough. The Imperial Guard held the Imperium together, but it was the Adeptus Astartes which defended it against its enemies. Drang peered through the transparent wall of the stasis chamber. Many of the bodies were too burned and butchered to be recognizable. Others still seemed to exude might and strength, even in death, especially the librarian, who had survived the attack in the Eye of Terror for a short while. Drang could see the black carapaces which had been melded with their ribcages, enabling them to function in the vacuum of space. It was not lost on him that these superhumans had been vanquished by other Space Marines. Chaos Space Marines. Those Marines, furthermore, would have belonged to the first Foundings. Yes, there was depth upon depth to the history of the Imperium, which few knew about. As a Lord Commander of the Segmentum, only one of five, Drang had been able to learn much. The first Founding had produced even tougher warriors than those of the present day. Their seed genes had come directly from the original Primarchs, the laboratory-created progenitors of all Space Marines, past and present. That had been 10,000 years ago, and yet first Founding Space Marines still lived there, in the Eye of Terror, protected from the passage of time by the insanity of chaos, with its power to transcend physical laws. Drang looked upon those faces in the stasis chamber, those that had not been blasted away or sawn off. What faces? Such grimness, such endurance, such fearlessness. A rattling sigh escaped Drang's throat. "If only I could have been one of you." He thought again of those first Founding Marines, and of everything they had accomplished. There was a reason why the present-day Marine chapters were limited in size. It was to prevent the possibility of their turning on the Imperium itself. The first Founding had been far more numerous, organized into entire legions. Inevitably, this had ended in a huge civil war, in which legion fought legion, tearing the Imperium apart. "How could it have been otherwise?" thought Drang. The Imperium was the greatest example of a large-scale organization the galaxy had ever seen, thanked the Emperor. What was the point of such organizations if it was not to put to some use? Why have fleets of battleships and destroyers? Why have gigantic armies? Why have the greatest armory ever to be assembled, and then do nothing with it at all? The urge to engage in full-scale conflicts must have been irresistible. Just as it was with him. When the news had come out of the Oculus Terribus, of the fleets of battleships being constructed, a force big enough to challenge the Imperium, he had exulted. That was the true reason he had taken steps to prevent this news reaching Terra. For a decade now he had commanded Battlefleet Obscurus, a frustrating, fretful time, acting as ferryman to the variegated hordes of the Imperial Guard, engaging in the occasional skirmish with assorted aliens, punishing the occasional recalcitrant world. when he had all the tools for a mighty war. Drang had been fearful that the High Lords would rob him of his adventure, that they would be cautious, or produce devious plans, or give orders to other battle fleets and command Segmentum Obscurus merely to stand by as a reserve, or that they would simply refuse to accept the findings of the Null ship. It had been a gamble on his part, one which had failed. Drang did not expect to live long enough to take his fleet into battle now. He took his eyes away from the stasis chamber and tilted his head, almost as though he could actually peer through the roof of the square-sided corridor, which in a way he could. He was looking through his implanted monocle. He knew that many rumours circulated concerning his prosthetic, though no one had ever dared to ask him for the facts. He had claimed to be able to see half a light-year away through it, in present time, not taking into account the passage of light itself. And that was true, but it was not all. The true story of how he had acquired the monocle was not quite as dramatic as some of the rumours averred, but it was mysterious enough. He himself did not know its origin. It had been sold to him by a free trader, who claimed to have obtained it from an alien world beyond the reach of the Astronomicon. Drang had paid a high price, but the cost to the trader had been greater. Drang was possessive. He did not want anyone else in the Imperium to own a similar device. He had killed the trader, and all his family, and all his associates. Then he had used naval intelligence to trace the trader's past movements, killing everyone he had had dealings with. The trail had indeed led to the edge of the Imperium, but then, quite unexpectedly, had backtracked into Drang's own Segmentum Obscurus, where it had petered out. He had never discovered all the monocle's powers, but he did know that it could see into the future. And he knew that he was doomed. Someone was coming to him. Someone whom he, for all the security he had at his command, would not be able to stop. It was to be a woman, to add to his indignity. He could see her now, a shadowy, willowy shape, as if at the end of a tunnel. He knew, too, that she would not be long in coming. It could even be today. Many a night he had spent mulling over his foreshadowed doom, searching for a way out, but the monocle offered none. All that was left was cold frustration. That, and the determination to achieve glory first. No, let it not be today. Mighty Emperor, give me victory. But in any case, briefly, he looked back at the brutal faces of the dead Space Marines. "Take comfort, Drang," he muttered to himself. "Die as they died." His boots clumped and clanged on the metal floor as he retraced his steps. At the end of the corridor, he pulled open a clashing bronze gate and entered a tube car. The transport shot him through the bowels of Base Obscurus. Eventually, he emerged at a gallery overlooking a glass roof. Beneath that roof, ensconced in individual cubicles, were all those imprisoned as part of his secrecy measures. Members of the Adeptus Mechanicus, Psychus specialists, cyber-modified computators, as well as all the support staff, even the caterers that made up the evaluation team. Guards stood on the gallery at 15-yard intervals. Drang waved one aside and stood on his podium. From here, anything he said would be conveyed to all the prisoners. He clenched his fists. "Which one of you was it?" he bellowed. They all looked up, some in fear, some with curiosity, some with resigned patience. Servants of the Imperium were used to brusque treatment. In truth, it was unlikely any of them had found the opportunity to pass information out of the base. Investicone must have been sloppy. Unless it was someone on Drang's own staff. Dark thoughts of revenge bubbled in his mind. With a gesture of disgust, he left the podium and returned to the tube car. Minutes later, he was in his own office, where he sat down to compose himself. It was unsettling, not knowing when the assassin would show up. He expected she would belong to the Calidus Temple, a specialist in stealth and cunning. What if he were to succeed in defending himself and kill the assassin? Unlikely, though that event was. After all, he was forewarned, which was surely an advantage. Would the Officio Assassinorum decide against sending another of their number? The Temple Master would not think of his operatives as expendable. No, he would be unable to do that. If what Drang had heard was correct, assassinations were ordered directly by the High Lords. An order from that level could never be rescinded. A deep tone sounded, startling him. It was the doors, and Unkayata, indicating that someone wished to enter. What? Did an assassin knock politely and wait for permission before committing murder? An astonishing notion. Realizing the audacity of it, Drang bade them enter. The door hummed aside, but it was only his adjutant, Captain Jessa, bringing the day's order sheet for his attention. All right, Jessa, be quick about it. I'm feeling impatient today. The door closed again with a quiet thump.
All things require their own time, my lord, Captain Jessa replied politely.
It was such an unusual thing for his adjutant to say. Indeed, it was such an insubordinate thing for him to say. The Drang froze. Suddenly, he realized that he was alone with Jessa. With a shout, with a touch of a key, he could bring security men rushing into the room, or he could fill it with sleep gas. But he knew that that would not save him. Not from a Calidus assassin. Slowly, he rose to his feet. As he did so, Captain Jessa's stiff black uniform shivered and disappeared. His face melted. Before Commander Drang, there now stood a comely young woman in a form-fitting black bodysuit. Around her waist was a white sash of the assassin. Her hair was a compact mass of dark curls. Her face was oval, her eyes dark and soft. It seemed inconceivable that her life was dedicated to delivering death in a thousand different forms. Polymorphine. The word sprang unbidden from Drang's lips. It too was a specialization of Calidus assassins, enabling them to modify and mold their physical forms. She must have taken on Jessa's form, including his uniform. No, that didn't make sense. Drang was annoyed with himself, recognizing that his thoughts had become confused when faced with imminent death. In a musical voice, she spoke.
Not polymorphine, my lord commander. Something much simpler. A holographic image, that is all. Quite sufficient for a temporary disguise.
She tapped a tiny medallion on her chest, a holographic projector.
And what of Captain Jessa?
She looked at him apologetically.
Sometimes the way to a target must be cleared.
Damn her. Did she really have to kill poor Jessa? He had liked the man. He was his favourite among all the adjutants who had served him.
So, what's all this talk? He ground on. Get on with it.
The smile she gave him could easily have been mistaken for friendliness.
Were I a Venenum or Eversaw, you would have been dead the moment I came through the door. I have been sent by the Calidus Temple. We have a particular role, to take vengeance upon traitors.
With a graceful gesture, she indicated the room around them.
None of your surveillance or recording instruments work. None of your warning or help-summoning devices work. Everything has been neutralized.
Now she turned to him. Her voice became firm and admonishing.
There is something else about the Calidus Temple which you must know. A Calidus assassin can kill a traitor only after explaining his errors and crimes to him. Your crime is twofold. You have concealed a threat to the Imperium from the Senatorum Imperialis, and you have planned large-scale military operations without reference to the Senatorum Imperialis. These treasons are the reasons why you are to die.
Drang spoke in a grating voice.
I know what I have done, and what I have planned. These proceedings are tiresome. Do whatever you have come to do.
I already have done so. Now I bring a message from the High Lords. It is this, in short, they approve of your plan. They order the commencement of your campaign, but the start of a campaign is not the time for a change of commanders. Therefore you, Lord Militant Commander Drang, together with Lord Militant Commander Investicone, are ordered to go into the Oculus Terribus as commanders of your respective fleets. Your deaths are deferred until your return, and are sub rosa. Matters for yourselves alone.
To lead a military expedition under sentence of death,
Drang found a grim satisfaction in this idea. His thin lips formed a smile of pleasure. His only worry was that the Calidus assassin might interpret this as a sigh of relief. But she had not quite finished. Her eyes went to the carvings of Lord Militant Commanders of the past, which decorated the wood panels of the room in a procession of Drang's predecessors.
"One more thing, my Lord Commander. Should you perform your duties fully and return to face me again, you will die with honour, and your name and face will be added to the proud records of Segmentum Obscurus. It will never be known that you died at the hands of the Officio Assassinorum. But should you default and flee, even after a successful conclusion in the Oculus, then no honour will be accorded you. Your name and person will be expunged forever from the Imperial record. Future generations will never know you existed. And let me warn you, you will not escape me. I am Calidus, sworn to vengeance. I will find you."
Her lips became full and red, and formed a sensuous smile. Her eyes held a soft lustre. He saw that she was looking forward to killing him. A fine figure of a man, noble-born, high in the ranks of the Imperium, obdurate and brave. How could an assassin succeed who did not find pleasure in his or her work? She was like a lover who was promising him a future tryst.
"You will die by means of poison needle. You will feel intense pain for about 3 seconds, and then there will be no more. Take this, keep it with you at all times."
She held out her hand. In her black-gloved fingers was a card from the Emperor's tarot, the assassin card. A slim figure kicking, punching, chopping, shooting, stabbing. A gyrating whirlwind whose weapons changed from instant to instant. She touched the medallion on her chest. In no more than a second or two, she appeared to be Captain Jessa again. In Jessa's baritone voice she spoke, "Thank you, my lord." The door swept open and closed again. Drang rushed to follow her, peering into the corridor in both directions. It was empty. He burst into his adjutant's adjoining office. It, too, was deserted. She had killed the good Captain Jessa elsewhere, if indeed she really had killed him, as she claimed. But it was unlikely she had lied. She had no need. Her modus operandi was easy to discern. The good Captain Jessa had died simply to remove the possibility of his being seen in two places at once. The Lord Commander returned to his desk. He called through to the security officers.
"Drang, has there been a breach in our surveillance to my offices?"
The reply from the surveillance servitor crackled back through a speaker after only the briefest pause.
"No, my lord. Who has entered my office during the past 10 minutes? "Only you have entered your office during that period, my lord. Replay the last 10 minutes.
He sat watching the playback. It showed only himself, sitting alone at his desk, studying a report on recent fleet manoeuvres. No one else came in. So the young Calidus woman had been able to disrupt his office's electronics and leave a clear record. But of course, were Drang not a Lord Militant Commander, he might never have heard of the assassin's office. In any political system, the best technical equipment went to the secret organs of the state. And the best equipment of all went to the Officio Assassinorum. Lord Militant Commander Investicone's visitation from the Calidus Temple lacked some of the charm and romance of Drang's. Earlier that day, he had briefly attended a passing-out parade of Battlefleet Pacificus's newest intake of cadets, fledgling officers none over 17 years of age. It came as a slight surprise, therefore, when one of those cadets appeared in his private quarters that night, as he was enjoying, for the 100th time, Imperium Commander, the most famous work by the military dramatist Wilhelmus Swordkiller. That the cadet had penetrated his personal security with its depth of 5 levels, machine and human, was slightly shocking. That the young man appeared in his apartment stark naked was, for Investicone, marginally more so. After assuring him that his visit was not from passionate motives, the young man delivered basically the same message which had been given Drang. Comparing the Calidus assassin with himself at the same age, Investicone could not help but be impressed, hardly more than a child, but with a self-assurance, a knowledge and ability belonging to a man with much experience behind him. A faint half-smile hung permanently around the youth's round face. He would always know exactly what to do. It was a tribute to the training given by the Officio Assassinorum. Damnation. Drang had got him into this. But there was no way out. Investicone had the good grace to see that. What could he say to this smiling naked boy with the nerve of a space marine? Well, there was one thing.
Might I be granted a final request when we get back, young man? Any chance of a final bout with Lord Militant Commander Drang? He is a very old friend of mine. I would dearly love one last opportunity to run him through with my sword.